enjoy cracking deals at Asda this Easter. With selected roast joints roll back to half price. Try our mouth-watering whole lamb leg. Named Best Easter Lamb 2025 by the Good Housekeeping Institute. Down from £12.34 per kilo to just £6.17. Or our large beef joint, also half price. Down from £11.36 per kilo to just £5.68. For more great offers, make Asda your one-hop Easter shop. That's Asda price. Select your stores online, subject to availability. Offer ends 20th of April. Excludes Asda Express.
Whether you're screaming from the stands or the sofa, Virgin Bet has even more for you to shout about this season, because we're giving you a totally free bet builder on a selected football match every week this season. So get ready to make some noise. Join us and claim your bet builder free bet every week. Virgin Bet, a good bet. Use Bet Builder free bet on selected match by kickoff. Min odds evens. Max one free bet, £1 to £20. Except via pop-up. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. Bet responsibly. Gamblerware.org.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome. Good afternoon. Welcome. Another episode of Dropping the Gloves. Thanks for joining us here. Tim's here. I'm here. Everybody's healthy. Everybody's happy. Tim, anything to comment before we jump into things and talk about a personal life? I know your mother-in-law likes that.
She does. Yeah, she's not the only one. No, nothing. No updates from the last episode. I'm excited for this one. This is the playoff preview. We've been kind of leading up to this for weeks. We've touched on little things. We've known some of the matchups for a week or two now, or some of them were basically almost 100% guaranteed. Now they're all official. Well, last night, the Montreal Canadiens had a big win over the Carolina Hurricanes, who was playing, again, without, you know, major pieces on their roster. But you still got to give them credit for the win in front of a home building. Very exciting. So we have all of our matchups, and we're going to spend today going through the East. This is part one of two. We'll do this in a two-part series. Tomorrow, we'll cover the West first-round matchups. John? Do you want to get into it?
Well, you know, my life's going good because you never ask me about me.
I ask you all the time.
It's funny. I got my wife called me earlier today.
That is funny. Yeah, that's
weird. And it was it's one of those conversations because we're building a house. Obviously, I'm doing the electrical work, and she gave me this question: Do you think you should just hire someone to finish it off?
Oh,
right. And as a man, that stings. And there's good reasons for it, because the house we're living in now needs to be fixed up in order to rent it out. And we have things around there that need to be done when you transition from winter to spring. There's a lot to do. The transition is hard. Like, we've been killing spiders like crazy in our house. Big black ones, big wolf spiders. And she's like, you got to spray. You got to do this. You got to do that. And I couldn't help but take it personal. You know, it stung a little bit. So I held my ground. I said, no, I will finish out the electrical work. I'm sorry. I didn't say I'm sorry. I said, I'm going to do it. And I tried not to let the blood boil. And I didn't. I was proud of myself. But, you know, those little things, they hurt. They hurt the ego a little bit.
You know, I'm not a dad. I'm not a homeowner. So I can't speak to this sort of thing firsthand. But I do remember a time I grew up on a street that was pretty nice, nice neighborhood, big loop. And it was about 45 houses. And you kind of knew who everyone was. And there was sort of a person for everything. Like, there was a lady who was obsessed with birds, where if you had a bird's nest or a bird feeder, like, she would be the one explaining what the birds were. There was a lady really good with plants if you needed help with your garden. There was a guy who was really good with bicycles, on and on down the list. And it was a summer day, and my bicycle, like, one of the spokes had fallen out or something. And it was the middle of the day. My dad's at work. My mom's was like, hey, let's go down to Steve Dempsey and have him put the thing on the bike for you. And so we did it. You know, he's like, yeah, I'm home, whatever. Got home that night. My dad was like, what? You had the neighbor fix Tim's bike? There's a whole thing of, like, the joke of mowing another man's property, right? Mowing his lawn without telling him. Mm-hmm. That's not a favor. That's sacred stuff.
Yeah, and I feel that's where we were treading on. Because I'm taking pride in this electrical work. It's taking a little bit longer to finish up just because I don't have all the lights. I don't have all the bulbs. I don't have all the outlets. So it's taking a little bit more time. And I think she's worried about it pushing back the move-in date. But I assured her everything is fine.
What is the date?
We don't know. It's a floating date. But it was supposed to be the end of April. But it's gotten pushed back just because painters and cabinets and stuff move. So I'm hoping middle of May now. So 1 month from now, I'm hoping to get in there. But
okay.
That conversation just happened before we press record. So it's
and tough. Here you are. You're still recording today. You're able to put that aside and just deliver for the people that listen. That's
you know, not everybody wears a cape who's a hero, but I label myself a hero. All right, moving on. Speaking of playoffs, Tim, it's time. You've never played in the playoffs in the NHL. I have, surprisingly. I know that's surprising, but yes, I have. Undefeated. Claim to fame. But there's some sexy matchups. There really is. And I think the NHL has to be tickled pink with how the regular season rounded out. Of the eight matchups, I would say six of them are very, very entertaining. You got the Battle of Ontario. You obviously have Montreal going into Alex Ovechkin, the young versus the old. You got the interstate battle down south in Florida. You got the Stars and Avs drama between Rantanen and his homecoming. Then, of course, you have the LA Kings and the Edmonton Oilers. The fourth straight year, can the LA Kings slay the dragon? That has been the Edmonton Oilers for them, a la Toronto versus Boston, those types of scenarios. So there's a lot to talk about. And let's just talk about the most exciting one. I think everybody can agree, Tim. It's Toronto, Ottawa. What's going on up north in Ontario?
Yeah, this is something we've been waiting for a long time. And this is, you know, we talked about this maybe 2 weeks ago. Part of why Toronto hasn't had any playoff success, you have to put it on the players and the coaching, of course, but they have had a tough luck of a draw when it came to schedule and first round matchups. Every single year for 8 years, they're playing you with the Boston Bruins, Tampa Bay Lightning, Florida Panther, three juggernauts, three just better teams, and they haven't been able to get out of their own way. Well, they finally win their division, and they don't have to play any of those teams, which is a good thing, but they're playing a team that, I'll let you kind of lead this part of the conversation, but this is not going to be an easy matchup, even though it's 2-7.
Yeah, you would think winning your division, coming second in the conference behind the Washington Capitals, that you would get a somewhat easy first-round matchup. You would get a matchup that you would go, okay, this is a primer to what things to come. No. They don't get an easy matchup. They get the interprovincial juggernaut, young, up-and-coming star team, the Ottawa Senators. And this has been brewing, Tim, for years. This has been building. You've been on the Ottawa Senators for a long time now. I've been down on the Senators just because I've been waiting for them to prove it. I've been waiting for them to just kind of grow into their shoes a little bit because the potential was there. And now we're seeing this potential. Yes, they were the wild card team. Yes, they, you know, still haven't blossomed into that perennial juggernaut like the Toronto Maple Leafs are and the Tampa Bay Lightning are, but you can get it. This is the start. And it started with the Four Nations Cup with Jake Sanderson and Brady Tkachuk. Out of all the players in that tournament, those two guys stood out to me. Those two guys really made an impact, especially Brady Tkachuk, but more so for me, Jake Sanderson. He was kind of an unknown in the NHL to that point. And everybody saw how he played in that tournament. He was wheeling, dealing all over the ice. He was a fantastic, fantastic player for the U.S. squad. And he will have to be fantastic in this first-round matchup versus the Toronto Maple Leafs in order for them to succeed because they haven't played in the playoffs since 2004, Toronto's won all three matchups they've had in the playoffs. They've been the underdog every single time. And they came through and won. Back in the day when Ottawa had Danny Alfredson, Mike Fisher, Chris Phillips, they were a really solid hockey team, and Toronto overcame those odds. Well, regular season matchup between these two teams this year, Ottawa, 3-0. Outscored them, 9-3. The Leafs, for their part, Tim, they had a relatively quiet season. Years past, it was just filled with drama, trades and people bitching and moaning and coaching and what's going on and why not? Why am I playing? What's going on? This and that, the defense, the offense, the goaltending. It's been a relatively quiet year for the Toronto Maple Leafs. They've been able to go about their business. They've won the games they're supposed to win. They have a solid team. And it's nice, isn't it, for them? No distractions. Do you think this helps them going into the playoffs?
Oh, it helps them big time. They needed a quiet year. And I feel like, you know, to compare them to the Rangers, for example, the best thing that can happen for the Rangers next year is to have a quiet season.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the noise and teams like this, it is not good. And it distracts the players. It distracts the media because they're asking about stuff that players don't want to answer to. So it's just not fun. But the Leafs to have a quiet season while winning their division is something we really haven't seen And you're kind of getting this narrative, and I've seen this from some people on Twitter already this week. This week is, man, this feels like the strongest team yet. This is this is a team that we didn't have XYZ before, and now we do. This is a different group than last year, and we've heard this before. But something about this does feel a little bit different.
Yeah, and that starts with their coach. There's the second year under Craig Berube, second year under Brad Treveeling. Gone are the days of Kyle Dubas and the high-flying Sheldon Keefe and the up-and-down-the-ice north-south style of play. Craig Berube wanted a playoff-style team. And maybe that doesn't translate into regular season success. It has this year. It didn't last year. But it definitely translates into playoff success. Hopefully. They are the biggest and heaviest team, Tim, in the NHL. They can play that hard game. They have a big back end. They have big bodies up front. Matthew Nyes has imprinted himself on this team. No longer is he just the guy who's playing with Matthews and Marner. He is not a star, but he is a solid player that they desperately needed. He's a moose out there. But the one thing that may make this team different in years past is just their style of play. They're not a high-flying team. They are a dump and chase. They are a calculated team. They don't make many mistakes. They are a methodical team when they need to be. And that's the hard thing. Craig Berube has to beat the system into these guys, because when you play a certain way for 7 years like they have, you grow tendencies and you get used to things. And when things get hard, you go back to those tendencies. And it's taken a long time for that to happen. But don't look now. Mitch Marner is fantastic defensively. Auston Matthews, we saw it in the Four Nations Cup. When it was crunch time, he was out there. He was making solid, safe plays, sacrificing offense for defense. And in order for this team to beat the Ottawa Senators, those two guys have to be good. They have to be better than good. They have to be great. Because since February, Tim, the Leafs are one of the worst teams offensively at 5-on-5 across the board. And if you take away that first line, Marner's, Matthews, and Nyes, the worst. This team is not deep. They went out and added some players at the deadline. Scott Laughton has been objective failure. He has been absolutely invisible since he came over from Philadelphia. Their depth scoring is absolutely not there. We talk about the Edmonton Oilers, and we'll get to them in a second. But Toronto has never been super duper top heavy. They've always had some secondary scoring. Kyle Dubas was really good at rounding out that lineup. It's not so much this year. Bobby McMahon might be the only one who's an outlier of that group, but he's played some pretty good time up in the top six. If you look at this roster, they scored 167 goals 5-on-5 this year. Of those 167, 140 of them are from the top two lines the whole season.
That's crazy.
So in 82 games, the bottom two lines have scored 27 goals. That's six players over 82 games, scoring a goal every four games. It's not good. It's not good. When you look into this team, there are a lot of holes. They pride themselves on the power play this year. They pride themselves on having a fantastic first and second line. And the thing that saved them, and this hasn't been the case since, gosh, years and years and years ago, when they had a good goaltender, maybe Curtis Joseph, Eddie Belfour, for Pete's sake. They have terrific goaltenders. These guys have been lights out. And Joel Savoie has been played the most games. He's been really, really solid. Anthony Stolarz has been no less than miraculous. He has stolen games for this team. He has made saves that he has no business making. He's been injured, but when he's come back, he's been great. And when he's in that net, Tim, ooh, they are a dangerous team. And if they have a chance, and which they do, look at the second place, first place in the Atlantic Conference. I'm not saying they're not good. But it's a tough matchup for them, for the Ottawa Senators. And if they have a chance to win, he has to be great. That first line has to be great. The power play has to be humming. Because other than that, it gets a little slim. Well, let's get to the Ottawa Senators. Why are they here? First time they're making the playoffs since 16-17. Most of these guys have not played playoff hockey. Stützle and Tkachuk and Batherson and all these guys have not touched the playoffs. This is going to be new for them. Are they going to be ready for the speed, the intensity? We've seen teams, Tim, when they're introduced to the playoffs, it's too much for them. The Avalanche, their first parlay, the Tampa Bay Lightning, their first parlay. It was just too much. They got beat by veteran teams who played playoff hockey. They move past that. They learn from that. Now they're both great hockey teams. Is this going to be too much for the Ottawa Senators? This is my question for you. Do you think this team has what it takes to handle playoff hockey? Because we know Toronto's, you know, six of the last 7 years lost in the first round, last year lost in the second round. So they don't have that pedigree of champions, but they've been there, done that. They know what to expect game one. Do you think guys like Batherson, and I mentioned Stützle and Tkachuk, and you can jump Dylan Cousins and Sanderson and Jensen and all these guys, do you think they're ready for the playoffs?
I do, even though it's the first time for most of the guys you just mentioned. But I feel like you also have to understand that Giroux and Perron are two huge parts, not only of the offense, but of the dressing room, right? They have been there. These are, Giroux hasn't won a cup, Perron has. Like, these are guys who have done it. And so, like, they're going to carry over and teach some of that stuff to the younger kids and set expectations. And then even though they're captain, Brady Tkachuk, it feels weird to say because he hasn't played a playoff game, you know what you're going to get from him. And he's going to demand excellence from everyone in his lineup and everyone in that room. He's going to lead by example. And there's no one in the league that can do what he does at his level. And so if he's rolling, it's going to impact everything. So, yeah, I do think that's it's a good question. But I'm not super worried about the lack of playoff experience. I think it has to do just they're not quite on paper as talented as the Leafs. And one of the things you mentioned is how important the Leafs' power play is. And I was kind of looking this up while you were talking earlier in it. The Senators are relatively disciplined. They're not like a team that takes a ton of penalties, but playoffs is a different animal. And if you feel like you're a foot behind, if you feel like you're adjusting to the speed of the game, that's where the hookings and the trippings and the stick work starts to come in because you're not used to the speed that playoff hockey is. That could end up hurting. And so discipline is going to be very important for the Ottawa Senators.
And they want to play that game. They like to play the game on that line. And it starts with the captain, Brady Tkachuk. We've seen him. We know what he does. And in the playoffs, typically, the whistles get a little looser. There's not as many penalties. There's a lot less that's called. My big thing is the Ottawa Senators are so deep. Obviously, they don't have the high-end talent. Very few teams can compete with the Toronto Maple Leafs when it comes to matching one for one. You have Matthews, Marner, Tavares, Nylander. Those are generational talents. Maybe not generational. It's a loose term. But they're very, very good hockey players. What Ottawa does have in spades is depth. When you look at this roster, four lines that can hurt you, especially now with Fabian Zetterlin playing on the fourth line potentially.
Forgot about him.
Which is nuts. Yeah. Which is absolutely nuts that he's playing on the fourth line. But they have the pest line with Greg, Pinto, and Amadio. Pinto's a 20-goal scorer. Ridly Greig's a really good player. And Amadio is a little water bug out there. And then you have the first two lines with Tkachuk, Stützle, Giroux, Perron, Cousins, and Batherson. It's a very balanced lineup. For heaven's sakes, Adam Gaudette, their fourth line center, had 17 goals this season. Like that's incredible. And they don't overwhelm me with scoring. They don't fill the net like other teams do. But what they do is they just wear you down. It's line after line after line, constantly playing the same way, throwing it in. Someone's hitting you. We're getting the puck. We're throwing pucks on net. That's what we do. And I don't know if Toronto can take that. I don't know if they can just sustain the pressure that Ottawa's going to put on them because they do have that. It's a tale of two teams. It's one team in the Ottawa Senators that is just going to bring it all the time. And it's another team in the Toronto Maple Leafs that, boy, when they bring it that one and two lines, can you handle that? Can you control those two lines? And that'll be the question to me. Can Toronto overcome just the pesty, feisty, constant onslaught of the Ottawa Senators? And can Ottawa get Toronto to play their game? Toronto's going to want to go north-south. They're going to want to play their game. They're going to want to play loosey-goosey and be able to be creative in the offensive zone, those two lines. Can Ottawa turn this into a back corner brawl? You know what I mean? Can they get the stuff after the whistle? Can Brady Tkachuk get in Matthews' head? Can he get in Marner's head? Can they get this, you know, to a game seven, basically? That's what they want. Toronto doesn't want a hard series. The X factor for me, Tim, for Toronto is Marner. Because he's been invisible in playoffs past. And so is Austin Matthews. Nylander's been the only consistent one for them. But the X factor for me is Mitch Marner. He has no goals. And 5 points in all his playoff series across 16 games in games 5, 6, and 7. Is that what you want from your superstar?
No,
you need someone who steps up. And for me, the big X factor for the Ottawa Senators is Sanderson. If he's able to just play how he plays, they win. There's a stat, bursts of speed. Players wear little chips on their jerseys. Every player in the league does. I learned this when I went to Buffalo. I saw all the chips. I saw everything. And they track how fast you skate. He has the highest burst of speed of anybody in the NHL, over 22 miles an hour, other than Cale Makar. He is the best defenseman with his partner, Zub, at goals expected against in the NHL. He will play his lion's share against the Matthews Marner line. Ken Sanderson, just play his game. Because if you do that, and you can line him up against Marner and Matthews, and you get that matchup, I'm telling you, this is not a good matchup for the Toronto Maple Leafs. It really is not. And I know I'm building my case for the Ottawa Senators, but Toronto's still Toronto. Like, they're the big brother. They have the superstars. When you look at the high-end guys, it's hard to compete. When you look at the goaltender, Anthony Stolarz, it's hard to compete. You're getting Oliver Ekman-Larsson back. You have Tanev. You have McCabe. You have very, very good defensemen. It's hard to bet against those guys. And it's a very inexperienced lineup in Ottawa. They're very thin on the back end besides Sanderson and Zub and Jensen and Shabbat. The 5-6 are very susceptible. You're going to have to rely heavily on those four guys. Is that enough to beat the Toronto Maple Leafs? I don't know. What do you think? What are your predictions?
This is a hard one to predict. I mean, most of them are. And there's a lot to be excited about with Ottawa, and it's kind of becoming a popular upset pick. But at the end of the day, like you said, Toronto's Toronto. This is an experienced team. I still don't know if I like them against the Tampa, Florida, some of these teams. They might play in the second and third rounds. But right now, you still got to pick them. So I would still pick Toronto officially, although Ottawa is a team I'm going to have a lot of fun watching and rooting for.
How many games?
Let's say Toronto in six.
Toronto in six. All right, I'm going Ottawa in seven. I think they have what it takes. I think Linus Allmark is a big addition to them too. He's been there, done that. I just think if this series goes longer than six, it's Ottawa's to win. They're going to grind them down.
That's a good
They're
point.
Gonna hit them. Even though Toronto is bigger and heavier, like I mentioned earlier, I just feel like Ottawa, led by Brady Tkachuk, has that juice. You know what I mean? And Austin Matthews is a captain. We'll see how it goes. But I'm going Ottawa in seven in my first upset pick of the day.
Enjoy cracking deals at Asda this Easter with selected roast joints roll back to half price. Try a mouth-watering whole lamb leg named Best Easter Lamb 2025 by the Good Housekeeping Institute. Down from £12.34 per kilo to just £6.17. Or a large beef joint, also half price, down from £11.36 per kilo to just £5.68. For more great offers, make Asda your one-hop Easter shop. That's Asda price. Selected stores online subject to availability. Offer ends 20th of April. Excludes Asda Express.
What makes a good bet? At Virgin Bet, we think it's a simple bet, a responsible bet, a last-minute winner when you're down to 10 men kind of bet. With generous offers. A bet that puts sport first. Sound like your kind of bet? Then you're ready to get started. Sign up and get £20 in free bets when you bet £10 on sports. Virgin Bet. A good bet.
New members. Min bet settled in first 14 days. 1.5 minimum odds. Free bets valid 7 days on sports. T's and C's and exclusions apply. Bet responsibly. 18 plus. Gamblerware.org.
Who's next?
Let's talk about another exciting matchup, the Washington Capitals versus the Montreal Canadiens. And these are two great stories. And remember, it's weird to think about now, but the Capitals were not supposed to be a contending team, let alone the best team in the East. And I think a lot of people, us including, probably had them missing the playoffs. They were older. They brought in a few free agents. You never know how that's going to go. Ovi's slowing down. Like, they don't, it's just, it was a team that was on the decline. A couple minor tweaks, a little bit of Russian magic from the great one there. And all of a sudden, it looks like a totally different team. They're youthful. They're exciting. You're getting unexpected offense from Protas and Strome and all this stuff. So it's really exciting to talk about them where they are. And on the flip side of the series, I don't think there's any team that has more buzz or just popular momentum right now than the Montreal Canadiens. When you think about, well, first of all, their playoff race right down to the wire and winning last night, Demidov and what he's brought, just the excitement and the buzz. You have Suzuki, who's one of, if not the hottest player in hockey over the last 2 months. Lane Hutson doing what he's doing every night. He tied Larry Robertson's assist record for NHL rookies on defense. But it's crazy. 60. So he's ended up with 65 points, I think he got. It's insane. So everyone's talking about them right now. And it's hard for me to say this because I am excited about Montreal, which is weird. Lifelong Bruins fan, it's weird that they're making me like this team, but they are. And all these young players. And I'm glad that they've taken the step as a franchise and pushed past the Red Wings and the Sabres of the world. But I think the buzz and excitement surrounding this team right now, this week, today, is making us forget that the Capitals are a much better hockey team top to bottom. And I think we're going to be reminded of that pretty early on in this series. So you look at it, their season, you're making a face already. You're grimacing.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. And we've talked about this kind of sporadically throughout the last month or so. It's like, why are we so just not all in on Washington? I think it's just us. I don't know why. Why don't I love Dylan Strome? Like, I played with him. I know the kid. I know the pedigree he has. He's a hell of a hockey player. Why don't I love him? He's a point per game guy. Why am I not trusting Pierre-Luc Dubois, who's a solid NHL player, Tom Wilson or Connor McMichael or these guys? You know what? They go out and they get Matty Roy and Jacob Chychrun. They do what they can to shore up that defense, and it's worked out. The trade for Rasmus Sandin from Toronto a couple years ago looks fantastic. You know, their goaltending is great. I just don't know why we can't, me personally, buy these guys. I just don't know why. Maybe it's just my hatred for Alex Ovechkin that gets in the way of this. I don't hate Ovi, but it just isn't it strange that now this team, President's Trophy, first place in the Eastern Conference, they're playing the Montreal Canadiens, who haven't made the playoffs in a million years, except for the COVID bubble when they went to the Stanley Cup Finals. Wah, wah. But why are we even entertaining the fact that they could maybe win this series? It's bonkers to me. Sorry, go ahead. I think there's definitely
some recency bias there, just because of the buzz around this team right now, which is sort of the point. Is that like it's same thing? You could in fantasy sports every year, everyone has played that. Like if for fantasy hockey, for example, you could say, hey, you know what? I think a young kid like Leo Carlson is going to take a step forward. He's going to have 23, 24 goals, 55 points. It's going to be exciting. He's going to take a major leap. But you're like, okay, but like Nazem Kadri is going to do that. That's his floor, not his ceiling. And he's going to go undrafted in fantasy. You know what I mean? It's just more exciting because it's a rookie and it's deceiving. But the guys that draft the Kadris of the world are the ones that end up winning the league. So I feel like there's a little bit of that here where, you know what? Like there's a lot of things here. The Capitals are already that team. And they're experienced and they're bigger. So let's look at a little bit deeper in the numbers here. The Capitals led the series in the regular season 2-1, but they were all close games. And so the Montreal definitely has the ability to skate with these guys. And there's certainly something to be said for momentum right now, which they have, being the underdog, playing with house money. But I think the Capitals, I think they're going to dominate the series. I really do. I don't think they're not quite as exciting, but these players like Dylan Strome, you mentioned, Protas, Dubois, Tom Wilson, Jacob Chychrun, like these are talented, experienced, physical, strong players, and they've proven all season long why they're the best team in the East, why they are this position at the top of the standings. And every time we thought they'd start to falter and die off, they go win 3 out of 4. And they've just been beating good teams all season long. So I don't really see a young, inexperienced team being able to beat them in a 7-game series.
Let me jump in. I'll tell you what. A key to this series will be just the emotion factor because it's going to be buzzing. It's great that Washington has home ice advantage because if they were to start in the Bell Center, it would be tough. But if Washington can get on them early and get that lead and get Montreal to doubt and just say, yeah, you know, it was fun. I'm glad we're here, but it's the Capitals. You know, they finished 20 points ahead of us. They're an unbelievable hockey team, then they will have that advantage. But if they can give Montreal that little seed of hope, even if they lose the first game, Montreal, if it's a close game, 4-3 within one goal, then you're in trouble. Because if you give these young kids some energy, some hope, you're going to have a tough time. It will not be a rollover. I think the first two games in Washington will be very important for this series. Because if you go back to Montreal, even if you're down 2-0 and you're Montreal and you go, gosh, we could have won one of them, it's going to be tough. That Bell Center's rocking. Those guys are very, very hyped up. You got Demidov, Caulfield, Caden Gooley, Lane Hudson, not to mention Suzuki and Slakov. Like it gets a little bit tricky for the Washington Capitals. So they need to almost just stay. Like, it's like when I fight. at the start of the season, I would always try to just beat the doors off somebody early. First 3-4 weeks of the season, I would do all my damage. And then I would coast the rest of the season because everybody would just have it in the back of their head like, oh, you know, he's tough. Leave him be. If Washington can just beat them down in the first game, I think they win this series, but they have to. If they give him that hope, Tim, it's going to be tricky. It's going to be harder.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And that kind of brings me to one of my X factors. Probably the biggest one, I think, in this series is going to be like the strength, the size, and the beefiness of the Washington Capitals. You mentioned the Maple Leafs. The Caps are among, if not the heaviest team right now in the playoffs. They're definitely up there. And I just went through, rather than, you know, list everyone's height and weights, here's a list of guys on their team who are 6'3" or taller. Ovechkin, Protas, Wilson, Carlson, Strome. That surprised me. Trevor Van Riemsdyk, Dylan McIlrath, which I'd be surprised to see if he gets any playing time or at least dresses for some of these games, and Dubois. Here's a list of guys who are 220 pounds and over. Wilson, Protas, Ovechkin, Dubois, McIlrath. And so I'm not sure that Washington and Montreal has a lot of skill, a lot of speed, a lot of energy and youthfulness. I'm not sure how well that's going to match when they get punched in the face from the big guys on the big bodies on the Washington Capitals. And they have some of that beefiness. Well, surely like Slokowski, Arbor Jack guy, and then you have some of the bottom of the lineup guys like Armia and Anderson, but nowhere near what the Caps have. So I think that's going to be a really important factor in the series. The other thing I want to mention is the goaltending. So I think this is pretty close in goaltending. Montembeau has been really good. He was picked into Team Canada and the Four Nations for a reason. So I think he's been good for his team all season long, and he's going to give them a chance to win most of the games. But if Logan Thompson's healthy, and he's been out with a upper body injury, but he's skating, he's hopeful to return. If he's healthy, that's definitely a clear advantage to Washington. If he can't start, Charlie Lindgren is still a very good goalie, and he's been good in the playoffs before, but it's not like it gives him an advantage over the Canadian. So I think Logan Thompson's going to be really important too.
Yeah, absolutely. You need that goaltender. You need the guy to make it safe. And I don't know if Montembeau is that guy. So we'll find out pretty quick. There's a lot of unknowns, much like the Ottawa Senators. There's so many question marks with these Montreal Canadiens. They're riding off a high of getting into the playoffs. The push that they've had and the battle that they've had to get into the playoffs, we'll see if that can just kind of roll over. But it's just there's so many unknowns. Montembeau's been strong this season, though. He's a very good goaltender.
Yeah, and I'll say my X factor for this one is going to be Slepkovsky on the Montreal Canadiens, because I think you already know by this point what you're going to get from Suzuki, Caulfield, Lane Hudson, some of those other guys. And I think you can say the same thing on the Washington side. But you're going to need a dynamic power forward to answer for what the Caps are going to bring on their side. And that has to be Slepkovsky. There's really nobody else on this team. Obviously, he's never played in the playoffs. He's playing against some of the best power forwards in the league, in guys like Ovechkin and Wilson and even Protas. If he can rise to that moment and be that player for his team, play physical, assert his physical dominance, chip in a goal or two in the series, I think he can give his team something that they won't already have and give them a chance. So I think that's going to be really important for the Montreal Canadiens. Not that he's their most important player, but the elements of his game that he brings that no one else in that roster can do could end up being a difference maker.
Yeah, he's a hell of a player. Let's do some predictions here for this series. Who do you got? You've been talking to Montreal pretty high.
Yeah, no, it's the Capitals, for like I said. And it's almost like a safe, boring thing. They are a better team. They're going to remind us of that pretty quickly. And so I like the Capitals in five.
I agree. I think five is the perfect number. I think Montreal, gosh, I watched that game last night versus Carolina. Carolina played just a skeleton lineup. Carolina dominated the third period. They completely overwhelmed them. They were all over them. They barely tied it up, or almost tied it up. Taylor Hall hit the post after they made it 3-2. So it's just, I was left... not very satisfied. So if that's what we're going to play in the most important game of the season, how are they going to play in the playoffs when you're playing a fully loaded Washington Capitals team who is just chomping at the bit to get going? Because they haven't made the playoffs in a couple of years themselves. So they're going to be excited to be there too, Alex Ovechkin and the group. So
sorry, but they made it last year and they got swept by the Rangers in the first round.
Stop dumping on my comments. Two years ago they didn't.
Facts, John. Just,
but anyways, I'm taking Caps in five. Moving on. We got to pick it up here. We've already been talking a lot. All right, Carolina Hurricanes, New Jersey Devils. This is the least fun matchup in all of the playoffs. Both of these teams do not deserve to be in the second round. The fact they're playing in the first round it's inevitable. One of them will move on. It's a tale of two teams. That what could have been. Carolina made the big splash this season. They went out and traded for a superstar. Shocked the world, getting Mikko Rantanen. Mikko Rantanen gets there and he goes, I don't like it. I don't want to be here. Why did you guys do this? I was happy in Colorado. Get me out of here. So he lasts about a month. They ship him off to Dallas. They bring in Logan Stankoven. They get some draft picks. All in all, they made out pretty good considering they traded for a guy who was a superstar that didn't want to be there. They end up getting a lot of draft picks, a good young player, but they still don't have that superstar player. They tried it last year with Jake Guentzel. He didn't want to stay. Rantanen didn't want to stay. So what you're left with is a team that is really good. And if this sounds like a broken record, it's because it is. This is the Carolina Hurricanes for the last 5 years. Very, very good hockey team. Very, very disciplined. Coached very, very well. No superstar. Very good on the back end. Somewhat suspect goaltender. They'll let in a beach ball every once in a while. And by every once in a while, I mean every other game at least. Sebastian Aho had a solid season this year, 74 points. That's great. Seth Jarvis, friend of the show, mirrored his breakout season from a year ago with 67. Svechnikov continues to suck after his breakout year in 2021. He's been a big disappointment for this team. He was supposed to be that guy, Tim. He was supposed to be that consistent goal scorer that you can okay, lock him in for 30 at least, 40, 50 maybe. He has not been this guy. This team is the epitome, and I've said it for years, of people buying in, playing the right way. Everybody's pulling on the rope, but it only gets you so far. And for them, it got them to the Eastern Conference Finals. But that's it. And this year, they'll get to the second round just because the Devils are in complete chaos. Just a ragtag mash unit of players that has no business even being in the playoffs. Because the Devils, boy, before January 1, they were 1 point out of their division lead, chasing the Washington Capitals. They were flying high. Everything was going right for them. After that, they're 500 team. Jack Hughes out of the lineup. Dougie Hamilton out of the lineup. Jonas Siegenthaler out of the lineup. Jacob Markstrom out of the lineup. Like, those are four massively key cogs in this team that have been out of the lineup. And you won't see Jack Hughes in the playoffs. He's gone after knee injury in March. You will see Jacob Markstrom, but he's been a shell of a former self since he returned from his injury. Jonas Siegenthaler won't be around for the first round. Dougie Hamilton might be around for the first game, but he's not going to be 100%. They're a bad team right now with those four guys being out. They're abysmal at 5-on-5 since Hughes went down. Outscored 42-27. That's terrible. Their offense started with Jack Hughes. It ended with Jack Hughes. Jesper Bratt has performed admirably to make up for the shortcomings with Jack Hughes being out. He's been fantastic. But other than that, it's been nothing. Timo Meier, $8 million down the drain. Nico Hirschier has been solid, but he ain't a star, Tim. Like, he's not a star. It's just they have a good team, but they have no business being in the playoffs. You know, especially with Hamilton out and Siegenthaler out, they rely super heavily on Luke Hughes and Brett Pesce. After that, it's very, very thin. Just the Hurricanes are better. You know, they're older, they're well coached, they're no stars, their goaltending sucks, but they'll beat the Devils. Like, it's just almost, it's one of those playoff series that it's like, these guys are in the playoffs, both of them, really? How? Yeah. How did this happen? Because you look at the Eastern Conference and you look at teams that maybe, like the Columbus Blue Jackets, I think, are better than both of these teams, and they're playing better hockey. It's a shame that Hughes got hurt. Rantanen didn't want to play in Carolina. Dougie Hamilton got hurt. Because if they're full power and Rantanen's in Carolina, it's a hell of a series. Like, I'm tuning in. But it's just not the case.
It's a good point, and it is disappointing because you think about, like, 2 years ago, you would have thought these teams would be atop the Eastern Conference. And they kind of close to are statistically, but to answer your question, like, why are these teams even in the playoffs? It's because there's no one better. But it's not like they're like, oh, if they get past this team, then that team, like, they're gonna run over Tampa or Florida or Toronto even. Like, yeah, it is kind of disappointing. It sucks for me as a Jack Hughes fanboy to not see him play in the playoffs. And even the Carolina Hurricanes, is just like, what is it that you watch for? If you're not a fan of one of these two teams, are you tuning into these games? Because I'll tell you, I'm not. I might flip through it, but this is not something I'm going to follow super closely. It just doesn't seem like there's a ton of exciting storyline, a ton of exciting players. If they win a round or two, maybe, okay, maybe I'm tuning into Carolina. But yeah, it's just, it's boring. And I hate to dump on it. I know some of the people on our Slack channel are going to take issue with that, but there's not a whole lot to get excited about. I do like Carolina in the series for the reasons you mentioned, mostly the injuries, but what this could have been and what we would have thought this would have been a couple years ago to what it is now is definitely disappointing.
Yeah. Well, who do you got? I think it's pretty straightforward. Everybody knows who I have.
Yeah.
It's obviously I'm taking the Carolina Hurricanes by default because it's just, it's unfortunate that it has to come to this. But yes, that's who I'm taking. Are you taking the Devils just because Jack Hughes you have tattooed on your lower thigh?
I told you not to tell anyone about that, but no, I'm going to say the Carolina Hurricanes five games.
What this gift is, whoever gets to play the Carolina Hurricanes in the second round, it's just a complete gift for them because it's going to be a walk, and that's going to be their Montreal Washington. So Washington could conceivably walk into the Eastern Conference Finals playing two lackluster teams in Montreal and Carolina. Like, how easy of a path do they have to the Cup Finals playing those two teams? Sorry, moving on. Last one in the Eastern Conference, Tim. We're moving on to the Sun Belt. Tampa Bay, Florida. What's going on down south there?
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be the third time in the past four seasons that these two teams have met in the first, or in the postseason, I should say. Each time, the winner of that series has gone on to reach the Stanley Cup Finals. So there's a good chance that you're going to see the same thing happen again. And I think this is probably the most even and therefore hard to predict matchup, at least in the East, because I could see either of these two teams go to the Cup Finals. I think this is probably the Colorado-Dallas of the West, of the East. They split their regular season series 2-2. When I look at these rosters, I looked for a while this morning looking at, like, okay, where are the advantages? When you look at the stats, the roster makeup, like, where are some of the other ways that certain teams are better, at least on paper or in execution, that are better than the other? And it's very, very hard to do. These are two stacked, deep teams. The best player in either team offensively is Nikita Kucherov, who leads the league with 121 points. And I think the Lightning aren't as deep as some of their cup winning years. At least I started to think that. I might change my mind a little bit the more I look at their roster, because you have Kuch, you have Point, you have Gensel, and then you have Hagel, who's playing like a superstar. And then obviously Victor Hedman. And then you have a nice bounce back year from Vasilevsky. But that supporting cast, and they brought back Ryan McDonough and Yanni Gourde. They have Nick Paul. They have Anthony Cirelli. Like, this is a good team. And the Panthers, on the other hand, they're as loaded as ever. They're going to be healthy. You had, like, Tkachuk and Bennett and Reinhardt all taking some time off. They're all expected to be healthy. And even with the departure of some of their key players over the past couple of years, including, like, Montour and Aaron Ekblad, who's not in the lineup right now. But you still have, like, those guys I just mentioned, Tkachuk, Barkov, Bennett, Reinhardt, Verhaeghe. You're adding Brad Marchand, who's still proven that he's hungry and he wants to win this thing. Other familiar faces, you have Seth Jones in the back end. There's really not, at least on paper, an advantage that I can see. So I don't know. John, do you look at this and say, okay, this team's going to be better for this reason or the other?
Yeah. Are we doing the opposite for Florida that what we're doing for Washington, where we just assume Florida is better than they actually are because of last year's success? And we just look at them and they go, oh, look it. They're going to be so good in the playoffs. Like, they look at Bennett. He was so good. And Forsling, like, we know what they do. But when you look at what they've done this year, they haven't been nearly as dangerous as they were last year. Like, Barkov has had an average year. Same with Tkachuk. They've been injured. Reinhardt's been pretty consistent. He didn't get to the 56 goals he had last year. Maybe we're drinking too much of that Kool-Aid, because the amount of disrespect that Nikita Kucherov gets in the NHL is remarkable. Like, he's consistently one of the top 5 point guarders in the NHL. Like, last year he led the league with 144, did not win the Hart. This year he's leading the league. He led the league, in points. He's really, when you talk about the Hart Trophy, he's not in the conversation, which is bonkers to me. So, yeah, I do think the stats and this and that can be misleading, because I think when you look at the rosters, Tampa's better. Tampa's more dangerous. I think top to bottom they are. And the goaltenders are awash with Vasilevsky and Bobrovsky, Tim. But I think you mentioned it with Gensel and with Kucherov and with Hagel and with Point. That's a hell of a top four. And I don't know if Florida can match up with that. I know Barkov and Reinhardt and Tkachuk and Bennett, they're good. But I'm taking Tampa, I think, Tim.
Well, I do think there's something to be said for what Derek Stepan said about his time with the Rangers. Just make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They are not going to get burnt out trying to jockey for positioning in the standings or trying to eke out individual stats. They won the cup last year. They expect to do it again. I don't think the regular season, at least the last couple months, or any indication of how they'll perform and what they'll bring in the playoffs. But there are two things that I'm kind of looking at, and this is more just opinion-based, just a gut feeling, but I think it's going to be important to Tampa to win this early in the series and not let it go. They want to win this in four games, obviously, if they can. If you lose a couple of games early and you find yourselves down 2-1, it's going to be really hard to stop Florida from getting one win in four or two wins in three or something like that. Like, they're just very good at picking up momentum, putting things away. It's going to be much harder than it would, at least in my opinion, the other way around. So I think it's going to be important to Tampa to win two out of the first three. And the other thing I keep thinking about is Tampa obviously went to three cup finals in a row, won the first two, lost the third. That is a lot of hockey. That is a lot of miles with largely the same group of players, short off seasons, and impacts their play. I think there's a little bit of burnout factor, and that's why you see them losing in the first round each of the last 2 years. It was disappointing at the time, but I feel like it's now set them up to finally be ready to go on another deep run. They expect to do it, and they're healthy, they're rested, they're going to be ready to go. Florida, on the other hand, is that team. They just went to two cup finals in a row. That's a lot of hockey. That's a lot of short offseason. I think that you could start to see that maybe play itself out, where there's going to be a fatigue factor, that Tampa now is the rested team, and Florida is the one that's got all the miles on their body. So I wonder if we'll see that, you know, play a factor in the series.
Yeah, I think you saw it on Victor Hedman. He looked tired, you know, the last couple of years. He's been great this year. You got Ryan McDonough. That's a good point. Really good point, Tim.
All right, so we'll make our predictions here in the final series in the East. This is a hard one for me. I'm going to go with Florida. I think Florida's going to do it. I think it's going to go seven, though.
I'm going Tampa in six. I think Tampa is the stronger team, even though Florida has the pedigree, Stanley Cup. Tampa Bay's right there. They have pedigree as well. The Kucherov disrespect is real. I think it's going to be a hell of a series. I will be tuning in every second of this game. So, I'm going Tampa in six, hopefully seven, but I'm taking Tampa Bay. And that wraps it up for the Eastern Conference, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We will do the Western Conference tomorrow, so tune back in and check us out for the Western Conference preview. We hope you enjoy the show, and we will talk to you tomorrow. Cheers, everybody.
Enjoy cracking deals at Asda this Easter with selected roast joints roll back to half price. Try our mouth-watering whole lamb leg, named Best Easter Lamb 2025 by the Good Housekeeping Institute, down from £12.34 per kilo to just £6.17. Or our large beef joint, also half price, down from £11.36 per kilo to just £5.68. For more great offers, make Asda your one-hop Easter shop. That's Asda price. Selected stores online subject to availability. Offer ends 20th of April. Excludes Asda Express.
What makes a good bet? At Virgin Bet, we think it's a simple bet, a responsible bet, a last-minute winner when you're down to 10 men kind of bet, with generous offers. A bet that puts sport first. Sound like your kind of bet? Then you're ready to get started. Sign up and get £20 in free bets when you bet £10 on sports. Virgin Bet, a good bet.
New members. Min bet settled in first 14 days. 1.5 minimum odds. Free bets valid 7 days on sports. T's and C's and exclusions apply. Bet responsibly. 18 plus. Gamblerware.org.